Would you pray with me and for me, I guess? And we'll get started. God, thank you so much for who you are, for your love for us, for the moments like this where we get to gather away from all the distractions, away from all the difficulty of life, all the craziness of our schedules, to just spend some time intentionally focused on you and listening for you. And I pray that you'd help us do that. I don't know if we can on our own. We need you to pull down the barriers in our hearts and our minds. We need you to push past the distractions. We need you to, your spirit to move in us and in this place and to stir in us something new in our relationship with you. So we humbly ask that you would do that. We thank you for your incredible love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't quit here. Like, don't quit right before God changes your story, right before things change for you. We all have these ideas of our lives and how they should look, like almost like a story. Like, we picture in the beginning what each chapter will look like, and we kind of like make those chapters our plans for our life, kind of like a book. We have this usually picturesque ending in mind, and if we can accomplish all the things that we want to accomplish, each chapter, each plan, each idea we have for our lives, if we can accomplish those and just kind of keep on track and keep doing the things that we dream of doing, keep doing the things that we want to do, then everything will turn out the way we dreamed it would turn out, and we'll have the family we wanted to have, the job we wanted to have, the income we wanted to have, the toys we wanted to have, and most importantly, the ending we wanted to have. But life doesn't always turn out like a neatly written story. We go through life, and sometimes pretty early, we realize something, like as life happens, and one moment at a time can just change things. Like, one diagnosis, one struggle that we didn't see coming. And we kind of like realize those pages, they hurt getting ripped out, but we keep pushing on and we push further along. And then all of a sudden, like with one diagnosis, one financial issue we didn't see, we didn't get that job we wanted, but we push on and we push on and we wonder how all of these changes to our story are gonna affect the ending, but we don't wanna believe that it's gonna be any different than what we dreamed of. So maybe sometimes in fast ways it just happens and we couldn't have kids, or that friend betrayed us. And sometimes it doesn't happen real fast, sometimes it's slow, like over time. Like, we don't realize it, but we wake up one day and all of a sudden, like, we have been adrift for a really long time. And things aren't turning out the way we had hoped they would turn out. And life just brings us circumstances we couldn't predict. And people show up that we didn't think would show up. And people leave us that we didn't think would leave us. And all of a sudden, we see our life and we look at all of these torn out pages, and we wonder, like, what happened? Like, what was God doing? What was I doing? How come my story didn't turn out the way I wanted it to turn out? How do we put the pages back in? And we like try to figure it out and we push through. We just like repair our story the best we can. And we like try to take the chapters and match the pages, and we bust out the scotch tape and we figure out how we're gonna do it. And we try to get everything back together. But like, once the pages are ripped out, it just never seems to go back the way we thought it would in the beginning. And we're left with this story that did not turn out the way we had hoped it would turn out. And we wonder if the end is ever even possible. Well, this is the part where, like, people quit. They quit when they look at the story of their life and they see all of these torn pages, all of our futile attempts to put it all back together, chapters missing, and they wonder, is it ever going to get better? how can my story ever end better? And so they quit. And maybe you've quit. Quit praying. Quit trying. Quit dreaming. Quit hoping. Quit believing in yourself. Quit believing in people around you. Maybe even sometimes quit believing in God. And just settling for a story that is less than you had ever dreamed of, and one that you are certain will not end the way you had once hoped. If there is one thing I hope you get this morning, it is this. You are not the author of your story. No wonder you can't put it back together the way you'd hoped. No wonder sometimes we dream of things that maybe wouldn't be that great for us in the long run. There is an author of your story who can take all of the messed up pages and weave them back into something beautiful. There is an author of your story who can take the missing chapters and replace them with better chapters. And can take that ending that you thought is no longer in reach for you and write a better one. Your story isn't over. So don't quit here. Whatever you're at, whatever point of frustration, whatever stuck place, whatever questioning place, whatever disappointed place you're at. Yeah, it's dark and the clouds are thick. Don't quit here. Your story isn't over because God's not done writing it. He's a far better author than you could ever be. There's this passage in Acts chapter 16, verse 6 through 10 that people read past all the time. If you have ever read the book of Acts, this is one of those passages that we often want to skip to get to the good stuff. You know, the good stuff, like the stuff that people used to make flannel graphs of for Sunday school back in the day. You know, like if you know what a flannel graph is, if you like got off the ark with Noah and went to church. We want to skip to like the big exciting stories, the David and Goliath stories, the Saul or Paul in prison and breaking free kind of stories. But this is a passage that we often skip right past. But if you're ever felt stuck or lost or confused or wondering what happened to the pages or the chapters in your story, this passage, though it seems mundane at first glance, though it is easy to read right past, though it seems more like a geography lesson than a life lesson, holds some keys that are absolutely essential for you to understand what God is doing in your life in the confusing moments. This passage holds some truths that are absolutely vital for us to understand when we feel like quitting and giving up, when we run into closed doors and ripped out chapters. It says this in Acts chapter 16 and verse 6 through 10. And if you're a note taker, there's some great stuff to scribble down in your Bibles or on a piece of paper in this passage. It says this. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Now, Paul is on a missionary journey. I don't know how much you know of Paul, but he at one point was called Saul, and he was the biggest persecutor of Christians ever. God dramatically changed his life. Christ drew him to himself and then released him as a missionary to the Gentiles. I mean, this guy is taking God's word to places nobody else was taking it to. His mission was one that was so big and so beautiful. His calling was amazing. And here he is on his mission, on a missionary trip. And he's traveling throughout these regions. But listen to this. It says, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. That seems like just a sentence, okay? But when you really stop to think about it, that's crazy. Paul's calling is to preach the word. His calling is to preach the word to Gentiles in Asia. It fits. His calling is to share this good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But as he's going to preach this good news to these lost people, not the devil stopped him. It says the Holy Spirit stopped him from preaching the word. That's crazy. God said, no. But what are you talking about, God? I'm preaching the word. And it's working. Like people are, like I'm doing, this is what you called me to do. This is what my whole life is supposed to be about. Like this makes sense. It seems like the best plan, the best step I could be taking. And the answer, nope. No other explanation, no reasoning. Just a slammed door in his face. You ever have a moment like that where you thought, this was it? This was a job. This is the guy. We're going to ride off on a horse and live happily ever after. This is what I'm supposed to be doing in my life. And it all makes sense to you. Like everything out in front of you, this new decision, this new job, this new home, this new path, this new idea, this new business, it all makes sense to you and it's good. And you're like, why wouldn't God love this idea for me? I love this idea for me. Why wouldn't God? And you don't get an answer, you just get a no. Paul's doing everything right. He has a plan. Make no mistake about it. It's a good plan. He's not sinning. He's not running from God in the wrong direction. There isn't some big character flaw in his life that he needs to figure out first. He's doing everything right, and God says no. So it says they came to the borders of Mysia. And there they tried to enter Bithynia. They came up with names that rhymed. Isn't that cool? Like, not like us from Schuylkill County have any reason to talk about how we name places. I still don't know what a Cressona is, and I grew up there. And it says, when they came and tried to enter Bithynia, the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. One closed door. Okay. All right. I get it. You're God and I'm not. But this other door, right? Like, surely you're not going to slam two doors on your humble servant as I do everything right. Are you? That makes no sense. Just like the closed doors in your life sometimes make no sense. The relationships that fail that you thought should work make no sense. The job opportunities that get taken away from you make no sense. God says no again. And what you have to understand is that even though he is doing everything exactly right, and even though sometimes you do exactly everything right, sometimes the answer without explanation, without reason, is no. And my question for you is this. When the author of your story says no, do you still trust him? When the no's don't make sense, Can you still wait on the author to write some new pages and a new chapter? Closed doors are often signs of God's guidance. We think they're signs of God's disappointment. We think they are signs of God's abandonment of our story. We think the author took a vacation or is no longer paying attention or maybe doesn't care as much about us as we thought. And so we see a closed door as some sort of divine rejection for our life, some sort of punishment for our life, when really God's closed doors are most often his direction for us. How many of you sit here and can thank God for things that at the time, years ago, really frustrated you? Did you ever like have that moment where she broke up with you in college and you were convinced she was the one you were going to spend your life with and you thought she was perfect for you and you were going to have six kids? That's too many. You were going to have like two kids and those kids were going to be perfect and play in the MLB one day. And then she dumped your butt for some guy you thought was a loser who had a creepy mustache. And you were like for months or maybe even a year crushed. And it didn't make any sense. Mustaches weren't in. They're still not. They shouldn't be. And like, and you were like, what in the world, God, is happening? Like, this is a nightmare that I am living. But now you sit with your arm around somebody right here in church, and you're like, thank God that didn't happen, because she would have been a nightmare, and this one's my angel, right? Like, how many of you have, like, been frustrated by a closed door in the moment, but now that you've spent some years separated from that closed door, you're like, it makes sense? And I wonder how many of you are sitting here frustrated by a closed door in your life, and you're just lacking the perspective from an author who sees every chapter and every page. And one day you will see that that author knew what he was doing. And you will thank God for the frustrating closed doors that you are facing today. God knows our direction, not rejection. He gets two no's. And it says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. God's no's lead to a better yes all the time. Absolutely, 100%. When God says no, he's got a better yes waiting for you. They didn't have all the answers. It didn't make sense to them. They didn't see what God was going to do in Macedonia. All they had was this direction and purpose. Your purpose is to go and preach the word to Macedonia. They get there, and it's a journey. They get to Macedonia. They have this vision, and they're in Macedonia talking, and I'm going to make this really short. I'm going to miss some stuff. So I would encourage you later today to open a Bible app or read the rest of this chapter, chapter 16 of Acts, at some point today. It's going to be worth your time. Trust me. It's an amazing story. Paul and the disciples that are with him, they get to Macedonia. And they're in Macedonia, and they decide that they're going to go out and pray. Remember, this vision was a man calling them from Macedonia saying, please come, help us. And here they are, and they're here, and they decide, let's go out to pray. That beach looks like a good spot to go out to pray. So they go out to the beach, nice spot to pray. If you're in Macedonia, it sounds like a good idea, right? Like, so they go out to this beach to pray. There's not some man out there But there is this group of women out there on this beach, and they start talking to this group of women, and they're talking about Jesus, and they're sharing the gospel with these group of women. And amongst this group of women is this prominent business owner named Lydia. Now, Lydia was prominent, she was respected, she was wealthy, and she was, scripture tells us, a worshiper of God, and the Lord opens her heart to respond to Paul's message as he is preaching it to this group of women on this beach. A group of women he didn't foresee would be there. A group of women he didn't know he would come in contact with. A group of women that didn't show up in the vision that he got from God. All he knew was to go to Macedonia, and all he's doing is taking it one step at a time. And here God, the author of the story, who can see more than we can see, whose plans are better than any of our plans, creates this divine appointment with Lydia. Maybe one of the last people Paul expected. A wealthy businesswoman on a beach. Lydia invites them over to her home. They all go over to her home. And what you see starting here is a church in Macedonia. As people come to the Lord and these believers start to spend time together learning and worshiping the Lord together. Paul and Silas are like, this is great, man. Let's just walking around town. They're in Macedonia doing what they're called to be doing. While they're in Macedonia, all of a sudden, you know, this church is here starting in Lydia's home, and they're here and they're walking around and they're preaching and stuff. And all of a sudden, this slave girl who it says was possessed by a spirit starts following them. And she starts yelling like, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. This is incredible. They didn't know this girl. They get annoyed by this girl, but here she is for days exclaiming to everybody around, these guys are telling the truth. These guys are telling you how to get saved. You can't write this. Paul couldn't write this. The owners get mad. Paul gets annoyed. He casts the spirit out. She no longer can tell the futures to the clients these her owners would propagate her out to. So she's free, which is an amazing, beautiful story. She's free. But her owners are furious at Paul and Silas because they just lost their cash cow. So they arrange for Paul and Silas. They stir up some stuff. They get them thrown in prison. If you know Acts, maybe you know where this is going. Paul and Silas are sitting in prison. And they decide that in prison, what else are they going to do? They would have never written this story, but they're going to praise God anyway. So in the middle of this jail cell, in the middle of a story they never would have written for themselves, a chapter they would probably rather have avoided, they start worshiping in obedience to God. And the earth shakes. And the walls crumble. And the jail is ripped apart. And the jailer comes running down and he sees that people have escaped. And this story is ruined for him. His life is over. A chapter just ripped out, the ending destroyed. And this jailer is ready to take his own life. And then he hears the voice of Paul saying, what are you doing? We're here. Don't kill yourself. We didn't leave. We didn't run away. We're here. But the jailer calls for the lights and he falls trembling, not like switch lights, like torch lights. And he goes, I realized I went like this when I said called for the lights. And the jailer rushes in and he falls trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and he asks, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the jailer and his entire family are saved. It's a story they wouldn't write. Chapters they would have avoided. Closed doors they would have tried to force their way past. But the author was writing a better story. And God's no's lead to a better yes. You have a vision, a beach, Lydia, a slave girl, the start of a church, a little stint in prison, a jailer and his family saved, the building of his church in Philippi. Which means the writing of a book that you are probably familiar with, the book of Philippians. I don't know if you get how exciting this is. Paul says Asia. God says no. God says, I wasn't the best in school, but I can connect these dots. God says, Europe. You are sitting here in church listening to a preacher, and you can trace it back to this moment in Scripture. Because God said no and opened a door and added some chapters Paul never would have written. God's no leads to a better yes. Thank God for those no's in these verses. And here's the last thing. God reveals, so we talked about God's direction and purpose. God's direction, closed doors are often his guidance. God's purpose, God's no's lead to a better yes. Listen, God reveals his direction and purpose one step at a time. That's his process. One step at a time. Nobody says amen to that. Because that's not you. That sentence sounds good, right? Like you're like, ooh, maybe some of you are like, I'm gonna share that one at work. That'll make me sound smart. You don't like that sentence. You don't like that sentence. Even if you were nodding like, oh yeah, I gotta write that one down. You don't like that. We like the opposite of that. We want the whole story. Tell me the ending. Like, give me the book. I wanna read the last chapter. Is this gonna be worth it, God? Let's see if it's going to be worth it. How's this story end? Can you give me all the details? What are all the steps? How do I get there? What do I say yes to? What do I say no to? What's your divine will for my life? Tell me all of it. I want it all written down. Like, can you please give me a 45-page printout, a plan, and some Excel sheets to go with it? Like, that's what we want. We want the whole story. We want the ending. But God is, it's like driving at night. He gives you 200 feet at a time, one step. He gives you enough to be obedient. He will never give you enough so that you don't have to trust him. Trust him. Paul does a fantastic job of this. And so here, as the worship team comes out, I just have three things to kind of like learn from Paul in the middle of this. And there's probably more, but I can only like think of like three things here. So here he is. A closed door was God's guidance. God's no was a better yes. And now he's in the middle of God's process. And God doesn't lay it out for him. He just says, go to Macedonia. The guy in the vision wasn't like, hey, this is a spot on the beach. Did you get that address? Did you write it down? Don't forget, if you get lost, here's a cell phone number. You can text me, you know, when you get here, let me know. None of that. They're there gathering and they feel led to go pray on a beach. That's it. Like, no instructions, no GPS pointing, no time to meet up. And their God creates this divine appointment with Lydia. Like, this is just a series of God giving Paul one step at a time, not more, enough so that he can be obedient, but enough so that he has to trust God. And here's what Paul does. One, he stays obedient. When he doesn't get a no, when he gets a no, he stays obedient. When he gets another no, he stays obedient. When he gets a yes, he stays obedient. When he's told to have a conversation with somebody he didn't expect, he stays obedient. When he's led to go to her house, he stays obedient. When he's in jail, he's still obedient. No matter what pages get ripped out, no matter what chapters get torn up, no matter what he would imagine about the end, he stays obedient. And there is enough in here for you to stay busy staying obedient. Come on, somebody. Without having the rest of it figured out. And maybe the step he has in front of you is to love somebody today. Love a neighbor. Serve someone in need. Be less selfish. I don't know. He will give you one step at a time, and our job in his will is not to write it, it's to stay obedient to it. Here's the second thing Paul does. He changes direction. He doesn't try to knock the door down. Like, that's what we, like, Asia, boom. Okay, that didn't work. Asia, anybody got a lockpick? Like, how do we get to Asia? Let's just keep trying to figure out Asia. We try to force the door open. You know this. You've tried to do this. You've tried to force stuff that God was saying no to. Keep banging your head on the wall. You keep knocking on the door. You're getting frustrated, and you're not hearing him say no. That's not. Paul changes direction. God, shut this door. Let's try over here. God, shut this door. He doesn't sit down, throw a pity party, wonder what's going on. He doesn't try to get a sledgehammer to break through the doors. He just stays obedient. Stays obedient every step of the way. And he changes direction. Keep searching for God's direction when you get an open door, when you get a closed door. Keep looking for the open door. Keep asking him to show you the open door. And here's the third thing. Trust his direction, his purpose, and his process. Trust him. I asked you earlier, when your story changes, can you still trust the author? When the answer is no, can you still trust the author? This is how we look at our lives, right? This is the story of our life. And some of you need to take your story before God while we pray at the end of this in a second. And you need to say, God, the chapters are all messed up. Some of them are ripped out. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand how to read it, and I don't know how it's going to end. But here, you take it. I'm done trying to write my story. You be the author of my life. I'm going to trust you. It's going to be hard some days, and it's going to be confusing, but I'm going to keep trusting you and just stay obedient. I give you my life. I give you my story. You take the pen. You write it. And some of you need to have a moment where you place that kind of dependence on God, where you express that kind of trust to him. If you have not expressed that kind of trust to him, what's wrong with you lovingly? Why not? What, are you crazy? You can't write a story like he writes. This is like our life and how we view it. I have another book that's going to ride through this series. It's a different kind of book that's designed to not tell our story, but to tell God's story in us. To be a reminder that he's not done with you yet, to not quit here. That other people have been through some stuff, and that other people are going through stuff, so that you're not alone. And this is a gigantic, enormous journal. And it's all about how, like, every story has chapters, and some of those stories are good, and some of those stories are bad, but God's still writing, so we're gonna trust him. And this is a trust book that we put prayer requests in, that we put answers to prayer in, where you can write a prayer to God, where you can tell God exactly how you feel, where you can write one word, or you can fill a whole page, where you can draw, you can vent, and there's some stuff in here. Like, some people got a hold of this already, and there's some prayer requests put in here on post-it notes, and there's some prayers written on here, and there's some, like, stuff drawn on here. And I just want to encourage you through this series, if you're part of a life group, steal the book for your life group. Just make sure it ends up back here. And pray for the things that are in here. Like, some of this stuff is like, I'm embraced by God. I'm thankful for my life. I'm praying for healing in my relationships and my family. And this book is a book for us to use. It's going to be in the back of the sanctuary for the entirety of this series. And I would just encourage you to, like, take a page and make it yours, and we will pray for this and over this as a staff during the week. Our elders will be praying. Our prayer team will be taking this and opening it in prayer. And you don't gotta write a name. You just gotta write something. Like, today, I'm trusting you. Again, with my life. Or maybe it's like, God, I'm suffering. And I'm barely holding on. I need you to help me not quit. You finish my story. God, we thank you so much for your love for us, for how you take the ripped out pages and the torn out chapters and you do something new. And I pray as a testament, as a witness to who you are, people would find this book in the back of the room and they take a second to just say thank you. Take a second to just say help me. Take a second to just offer a prayer to you. All different ways where we can just invite you back into our story again and again. I pray that nobody here would know, would feel alone. They would all know there's other people going through some stuff. There's some people that are want to quit too, but here we all are hanging on to you, God. You are the author and you are the finisher of our faith. We trust you. In Jesus' precious and holy and powerful name, we pray. Amen.